Welcome, everybody, to episode 324 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, July 25th, 2018. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by, John James Jacoby. John, welcome back.
I am here until the browser tab crashes again right before we hit record, so here I am.
Unbelievable.
No kidding.
Welcome back. We took a break last week. We were both busy. I mean, you're in the process of going homeless by your choice.
Homeless. It is true. Very homeless right now. We are in a basement. Carrie and I in a basement and two dogs. At least a basement with a bathroom, so that's good. But we are intentionally homeless, and it's going okay so far. We're making it work. We're very lucky to have sort of a host.
Wow. Unbelievable. So when John loads up Safari for the Google Hangouts, his voice – the audio is terrible, and now he's trying to use Safari, and Safari keeps crashing on him.
So this is what's going to happen. Every 30 seconds, I'm just going to crash a browser tab and bounce out. If it happens again, I'll try Firefox. So long story short, everything's okay other than
everything's fine.
Show.
Everything's fine.
That's right. Everything's fine except this show. And me, on the other hand, we finally sold. We got the check today. Awesome. We closed out on a home, a vacant home that we've been taking care of for 8 years. It's been vacant, and it's a huge weight off me and my wife's shoulders. So we're taking a huge sigh of relief. It's pretty awesome. So that's what's going on here. But we have an awesome guest on today. Her name is Jen McFarland, and she is a NC State alum and has been working in the Office of Information and Technology for
over 10 years.
Yes, Jen has disappeared again. He'll be back, though. He's just doing a wheel of fortune with browsers. That's all he's doing. On the air testing. So you've been in the Office of Information and Technology for over 10 years, starting in the NC State Help Desk and moving into web services. And you are now the web services coordinator. And thank you very much, Jen, for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So it's your first time on the show, and kind of customary for us to ask the new visitors on the show, what is your WordPress origin story?
Okay. So way back when, and I'm thinking like 2008-ish, but I'd have to go back and try and track that down exactly. But, about 10 years ago, and it was right around the time we had a reorg about 10 years ago. So that sounds about right. We, our web group was much smaller, and there were two of us, and one of us did Drupal and one of us did WordPress. And I knew some Drupal and did some stuff in Drupal and had some experience there, but I preferred WordPress and was running sites in WordPress. And he knew some WordPress and spent some time in that. But basically, we supported two environments for campus, and we're central IT, so we solve problems wherever they arise. And so we had both a Drupal service for campus and a WordPress service for campus. We actually had two for campus. We had a free blog environment and then sort of a premium hosted version, which continues to this day. But we also had the same sort of premium solution in Drupal for campus. And so at some point, my Drupal colleague left and went on to greener pastures. And the time came to replace him. And I tried to make the case that we should have two WordPress people and we should try and consolidate. And my boss nixed it. But we hired a Drupal developer. And he stuck around for a year, and then he left. And after that, I made the case again. Hey, really, we should hire another WordPress person, and we can be two. I mean, like, we can focus, consolidate. This is good. And this time they bit. And so I basically outlasted Drupal. And that's how I got to this point. And we've grown my unit, and there's now four of us. So I lead a team of three other developers plus some part-timers. And I also work on the side helping to coordinate and manage and, sort of direct some of our other web services for campus.
So NC State, I was looking forward to this interview because John and I, we talk about Gutenberg in the news, and we've talked to some people about the state of Gutenberg and its development, but you're the first person we've actually had on the show that's in a position that's in control of a lot of things, you know, at a campus. And so it's kind of cool to get your take on how you guys are focusing on preparing staff and students for the transition to Gutenberg. But before we get to that, I was reading an interesting article back from March of this year, and it kind of outlined sort of the setup there at NC State. How was WordPress used and set up there on campus?
Right. So I sort of alluded to some of our environments that we support. We have a free blog environment with like, I think 2,500 sites or so on there. We've got our hosted WordPress premium environment. We've got about 100 sites on there. And then we have a lot of installs of WordPress here and there, some managed by us, some managed by end users, some managed by, we have a communications group as well on campus that does some support, usually for sort of the NC State homepage and some more higher end externally focused sites. And so there's a lot of multi-sites. It's taken a long time for campus to even get to the point of focusing on one CMS because there's no mandate for NC State. But at this point, most development and the themes that we make for campus plugins, all, you know, most of our development is done in WordPress. So that's been great. And our unit specifically manages those enterprise level environments. We also have student orgs environment in a multi-site. And we do training and support and user questions from all over campus through our office. We also have office hours on Fridays where people, you know, with web questions, usually about WordPress, can come by and ask them. So we're kind of all over the place.
So it seems crazy to me because now you have all these different individual units. How in the world do you keep track of all of them? How do you keep everybody on the same page? And I guess that kind of brings us back to sort of the Guten Day event.
Right. Well, so the Guten Day event is something that we tried to do because there's so much diversity and decentralization on our campus. We tried a couple years ago to figure out ways to get all of the different campus developers to share information, at least, you know, share what they're working on. It was kind of ridiculous. We would go to like a conference. We have an annual IT conference and we would go and run into other developers from NC State there and be like, oh, you're working on that? I'm working on that too. Hey, that's cool. And so we were like, we should really do a better job of communicating. So we do also have co-working on Fridays where campus developers can get together and talk about what they're working on. And so our Guten Day was really sort of a co-working on steroids where we invited all the campus developers to come out. We had been, had our hands in Gutenberg for several months at that point, and we'd been trying out some block development, so we had some things to share. So we sort of spent the morning giving a background. We had some time in the afternoon that was supposed to be set aside for different groups to get together and talk about, you know, management and deployment and block building and, you know, different things like that, communication strategies. Unfortunately, our block development didn't go as far as we expected because we hadn't gotten everybody to install Node before we got started. So we sort of stopped and turned it into like a more of a demo conversation kind of thing. But Guten Day was, there were about 30, 35 people. We had folks from all over campus. We had people from a couple other campuses in North Carolina join us as well. And I think it was a really good jumpstart for people to get their hands in things. We also used it as sort of a starting point for something that we're building, which is our own custom Guten blocks that will use our campus brand to apply some of the sorts of attributes that people will need on their site. So we use these call out blocks and really they're like blocks already, but they really translate nicely into a Gutenberg block that, you know, gives you a section of the page and you can customize with images and text and icons. We're trying to build a table of contents block, a major links block, so like a highlighting link and a couple other things as part of that tool. And we're trying to collaborate with some other folks on campus for that as well.
So I like how the event, like how you guys sort of focused on three main groups, three main audiences, that is content creators, site administrators, and developers. Three would, and those three could just vary widely in terms of experience. So I like how the content of the workshops were centered around those three audiences. And in your experience so far with working with Gutenberg, can you see how it's going to be the future and make WordPress relevant for the next 5 or 10 years to come? Is it a lot easier to accomplish certain tasks using blocks than what we use today with TinyMCE?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all in. I'm sold. Not just because this is not a flash in the pan; it's not going away. We need to get on board with it, but also because it truly is an improvement in lots of ways. It solves problems that we've had in WordPress that we've, you know, corrected with some hacky workarounds, and we now have native WordPress solutions to these problems, right? Like things like building custom post types and then being able to build block templates that will structure your content for people. We're super excited about that stuff. I went to a great talk in WordCamp Boston this past weekend by John Ekman, and he talked about, is your content blobby or chunky? And the blobby content is what you get from sort of the WYSIWYG editor, right, where you have everything and it's just dumped in there. And that works, and it has worked for 12 years. But it's nice to have this concept of chunkier content where you can, you know, have these blocks that can be reused. So your content gets, it goes a lot further. It's much more functional. It's just a much better way of organizing your stuff, both mentally and then online. And it's been a long time coming to try to facilitate that natively in WordPress. So yeah, I'm really excited. I can't wait to see all the other places we put blocks. I'm waiting for blocks and widgets.
Yeah, I'm it's finally somebody says some positive things about
Gutenberg. Oh yeah. Woo, it's, go.
All right. So speaking of blocks, I thought it was cool. I know you were talking about the NC State blocks, and I was thinking as I was reading over this, I said, you know, that's kind of a cool idea. We have a university here that's doing sort of their own plugin, and in that plugin, you're going to bundle a bunch of blocks that are related to NC State and tap into your library or other resources that you have available there on campus. Are you planning to perhaps open source this plugin, maybe to allow other universities to contribute, or anything along those lines?
I don't know about contribute, but I'm sure that we would share the code out there. So we have an enterprise GitHub, so it's locked down to just our campus, mm-hmm. Which is good. Right now, it's our campus that's contributing to it. But I'm sure that we'd be looking to sort of share some of that out at some point. Some of the stuff that we're doing, like right now, we have 6 or 8 blocks that we're looking to sort of stop development, and we need to go ahead and, you know, tweak those and get them rolled out and tested more thoroughly for end users. But the plan too is down the line to have some stuff that's talking to the systems on our campus that are more proprietary. So we use ServiceNow, maybe trying to find ways to tie into some of the other tools that we have on campus for grabbing information. And that's very much a thing that's, you know, there's lots of proprietary tools that get used in higher ed, Moodle, and, you know, Moodle's not, it's open source, but different tools that we have that we pay for at the enterprise level that we want to continue to try to pull content in from. So those are things that we need to work on that wouldn't necessarily be as useful, but definitely the basics. I'm excited about our table of contents plugin, block, that will let people sort of jump around and, you know, do their anchor links and stuff like that. So there's lots of good stuff we'd be happy to share.
And I'd ask for John to comment, but
he has no idea what we've been talking about.
Playing browser roulette.
I have been. I jumped in on Firefox and then Chrome and then Canary and then Safari Technology Preview and then a Firefox beta. Everything just keeps bouncing me around. So now I'm back in Chrome Canary and I have no idea how I sound. And so hopefully it's not terrible. And if it is, I will just sit back and relax.
It sounds doable. It's a little crackly, but we're going to have to work with it.
I'm really sorry.
Because I love you. I love your voice. I need to hear you.
I'm really sorry.
You know, it'd be very easy to sit back because we know that there's a classic editor plugin and it'll stick around for a long time. It'd be very easy to just say, hey, look, we're just going to put everybody on the classic editor plugin or we'll install it right now. So when WordPress 5.0 is released, we don't have to worry about it. But the thing I like about what you're doing and the other members of the staff there is you're taking a very proactive approach. As soon as Matt announced Gutenberg, you were already head over heels trying to figure out what it is.
We were like lawfully, but December hit us hard. One of my colleagues was actually at WordCamp.us and heard Matt say that and like sort of slacked me and was like, dude, like this is a thing and it's in 4 months and we should freak out now. So that was since December, I would say we've been on board.
Yeah, because that's, you know, initially, and this came up, I guess he announced that it would be coming in April. April's come and gone.
Right.
Now we're looking at possibly August or at the very least before the end of this year, before the end of summer. But you folks are taking a very proactive approach and I appreciate that. And it's nice to see someone at your position who has influence over a number of different sites take this proactive approach instead of the, you know, let's sit back and do whatever we can to keep hiding MC in there for as long as possible.
Thank you. I have to say kudos to my management who is certainly allowing us to take some time to work on this, which of course means that we're not doing other things. So right. they definitely get some credit as well. But I do think that this positions us hopefully better than some others for, you know, 2019, you know, ideally we'll be ready to roll then. And I am, the good news is that my unit really does believe, OIT and my unit in OIT, Outreach Communications and Consulting, that we're here for, contributing to the whole community, not just campus, although certainly campus, but also the rest of the UNC system and beyond. And so, hopefully the stuff that we've learned is useful to others, which is why we're doing this stuff.
And that's got to be huge to have that kind of support from the folks at the top. Because usually if you don't, well, now it's just never ending back and forth friction. And, you know, it really halts progress.
We are very lucky. Yeah.
So one of the things you mentioned here, kind of looking at the different sites that you have available on campus, is that some are ready to go. Some are going to need some work and some are going to need a lot of work. And something that I thought was pretty funny in this article is the internal use. It's called the Gutenberg Pain Index, or the Gutendex.
Yeah, that's not me. I also have to like shout out my whole team because they're amazing and wonderful. And the good news as part of this process is we discovered that we have previously unknown JavaScript resources and or interest, which is important. And so they've been completely amazing. And that therefore I indulge them in their whims of adding Guten and or Berg to any kind of word that they can to make some sort of terrible portmanteau. My colleague Brian calls it portmanteau because it's a portmanteau that you should be ashamed of. So Gutendex comes from the Gutenberg Pain Index, and it just took the end of the beginning. And
that's awesome. So while I was bouncing in and out, did you guys cover how many sites, how many developers, how many networks, how many, all of that already?
Yeah, she pretty much basically outlined that there's a lot of multi-sites and a lot of individual sites, and just trying to, I mean, the whole part of the Guten Day was trying to bring everybody under one roof and try and collaborate more.
And that's one of the things, like Washington State University did a lot of work behind multi-site and multi-network and having multiple installs and all that stuff. And this reminds me of like what colleges used to do, you know, like really collaborate, working on many separate spokes in the same hub.
Yeah. So like 2 weeks ago, I was at WP campus and some folks from Washington University or Washington State were there too. And you know, higher ed is so unique, and it has contributed to WordPress so much in ways like this, where there are people doing all these different things, having their fingers in all these different pots, which, you know, is tough. It makes for an interesting day sometimes, but it also puts you in the mindset of solving several problems or problems across various, you know, facets at the same time. So it is really interesting. Yep. Higher ed is
And it was years ago where many campuses were moving off of College Publisher and moving to WordPress, and that by itself was the uphill battle. Now that more and more campuses are adopting or relying on WordPress to power all of the sites and the networks and the internal sites and the external sites and student blogs and alumni networks and everything else, that Gutenberg is the next thing to get worked on. So
A lot of sort of negative perspectives of WordPress with respect, you know, it's very much people had this, there's a mentality of it's just a blogging platform or it's not secure or different things like that. But yeah, I think it's really grown into a great service, and it's of course free, which higher ed loves. Mm-hmm. And I think the idea of finding ways, like I was talking about before, of, you know, having content that can be reused better is so critically important for higher ed. And I'm excited about sort of finding new ways to make that work.
Yep. So, so you kind of answered my next question. I was going to say, in your opinion, what makes WordPress a good solution for higher ed, but you kind of already outlined it. It's free. Mm-hmm. I think by and large it's maybe not the easiest to use. I think it's probably easier to use than some of the other solutions out there. But yeah, I think it was the first WP campus. They actually held a survey before the event, asking folks their opinions, and what came out of it was some of the misconceptions of WordPress that you basically just outlined. Is that there is a lot of higher ed situations out there where they believe that it was insecure, or because it's open source, actually, that was one of the reasons, that it's free, that maybe couldn't take it seriously enough. But it's nice to see that there's actually been more movement towards WordPress and higher ed. In fact, I mean, that's one of the reasons why WP Campus exists, because there's so many people in so many higher ed environments utilizing WordPress in
unique ways. And that group has been phenomenal. I'm going to shout out Rachel Cherry, who is the director, but also because she presented at WordCamp Boston as well, talking about just that kind of thing, like some of the obstacles to people taking WordPress in higher ed seriously. Mm-hmm. But there's so many, I mean, it really has grown up, so to speak, and there's so many other resources and plugins and things like that that are really great, that are developed and useful, maybe not developed for higher ed, but are useful in higher ed. And then things like single sign-on and, you know, managing users and, you know, being able to have course content in there. WordPress can be used so many different ways. It's so dynamic. There's a lot of pluses to being in that environment and being able to use it so many different ways across the campus.
And John, you missed it, but before I was asking her in her opinion, based on what she has seen so far in Gutenberg, if anything is in fact easier because of Gutenberg and the Black way of doing things versus TinyMCE, and she said absolutely.
Yeah.
They're able to accomplish things in Gutenberg now that just required hacky solutions before in TinyMCE.
I believe it. I mean, you're dealing with such a wide audience in a campus setting. And so with every end of the spectrum of users and abilities and familiarity and expectations, some people that have used WordPress already and love it, but then haven't used Gutenberg. And so you're giving them a completely different experience, and you're giving them the future without them asking for it.
Right.
And then people that have never really needed to log into WordPress one time in their life, and they don't really know the difference. But Gutenberg is such a sophisticated interaction I was going to ask what, and you may have covered it, and so this is my fault, and I don't want to repeat it, but this is where we are. Since you were sort of jumping into the moving car, really, you've been building blocks, and as blocks change and as Gutenberg changed, you guys built and rebuilt blocks. And it's not, even though you save money up front with a free WordPress platform, it is a free puppy, in that Gutenberg's changes are costly in the long haul. And so if you could talk a little bit about, if you haven't already, I guess, how painful has it been embracing Gutenberg the way that you have? Have you needed to rebuild and rebuild an architect to go over and over and over again? Or has it been mostly straightforward? I'm curious, since you've been in it as deeply as you have been, what it's really truly been like.
I'm going to forget the attribute that lets you use the code that's been in Gutenberg, there's the way to build in previous versions of code so that it doesn't break your block. Yeah. Do we know how to use that part? Oh, hell yeah. we've definitely played around with that. And right now, I really need to get back to another block template that I built for one of our clients that is no longer letting me edit that block template. So the content was built in this block template and all the pages are done and it's fantastic. And I'm delighted and the client is happy, but you can't edit those pages because I'm getting Gutenberg block errors. So has there been pain? Yes. By embracing a little early, we've probably felt that a little bit more. I don't think I would change anything, though. It's impossible to know where that tipping point is going to be. I mean, arguably, it's certainly now because they've frozen code changes. So certainly, if you haven't already, jump in, guys. But it's been useful to have this extra time. You know, are we bummed out that Gutenberg didn't go live in April? No. Like as Brian was saying, more time to prepare is more time to prepare. And we definitely still have stuff that we need to do. But we've learned the whole way. We've learned as we've gone. There have been gotchas, sure. But it's been worthwhile time spent.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And because of the so much of it's a JavaScript pretty much application, Gutenberg is since you found out that Gutenberg was going to be a major part of WordPress core. Have you started to learn JavaScript deeply? Did you already know JavaScript deeply, or
So one of our team, Miles, that we already had in place, knew JavaScript, had a lot of that experience and has been able to sort of very kindly take my hand and, you know, some of the other team that didn't have it and be like, here, let me show you how this works. And then we hired someone in January. So we were, you know, when we started interviewing in December, we had more of a perspective in mind. Certainly we were asking people when we were interviewing by December, do you know what Gutenberg is? And so that was an important part of our process. And we hired a fabulous person, Lauren. We're delighted to have her on board, and she has JavaScript experience too. So we've been able to really take that and run with it, which has been good. If you don't have that experience, that's okay. You don't have to be building blocks right now. I mean, maybe that's one of the things that I want to say to people. You can build block templates with PHP. There's no need to know JavaScript for that. And block templates are super useful. You know, add a new custom post type or add it to a template. And I really encourage you to go out and play with that. One of the resources we have, which Miles wrote, is the block attributes glossary, and I can share resources with you to put out there, but it will, you can install it in any site that has Gutenberg turned on, and it will index all of the Gutenberg blocks that are, that exist in that site and all the attributes related to them, which really helps building block templates. And if you have custom plugins, like if you have our custom plugin for NC State blocks turned on, it will also tell you what the attributes are for the custom blocks. So it's a really great resource, and we're happy to share that. And we've certainly used that to sort of stretch our legs in terms of, you know, what blocks can we put into this template and what, you know, attributes can we pre-fill or, you know, configure in some way that's useful for our clients. So that's all stuff you can start playing with that right now just with PHP. You don't have to be a JavaScript expert.
So throughout your trials and tribulations thus far, have you run into any situations with using or building with Gutenberg where you say, you know, why doesn't it do this? Or why does it do it this way?
Maybe
you wish it did already, but it doesn't, or it's not there yet.
There are some things. I wish that there were some... The saved blocks or reusable blocks are a little bit clunky. I kind of wish it was documented a little bit better how that's, but I mean, all the documentation is kind of, you know, so right now. In terms of reusable content, I think those reusable blocks and saved blocks will be great. Having those blocks be able to pull a bunch together and reuse multiple blocks in a set, that's going to be something that is going to, you know, be exciting when it's in place. I'd like to see some more dynamic blocks. So like if you have this block, then have this block, right? Some of that stuff, which has certainly been bandied about. I'm sure I'm not the only person who wants that. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like it's a case where I'm like, I must have this tomorrow or my world will crumble. You know, there's plenty of other stuff to keep us busy and to try to, you know, to try out, to make it work and that kind of thing. So I think we're in okay shape right now. So I am curious.
User adoption, publishers, people that actually are writing content, they're doing okay too?
Well, okay. So we have limited people who are editing in Gutenberg at this point. What we're doing is we are training for campus, and we have training open to campus, and we have had since about May. And in those groups, if they're clients of ours and they request Gutenberg be turned on, we will do that after they've had training. And so we have like about maybe a dozen sites. I'm looking because we have a board that's like transitioning Gutenberg. maybe about a dozen sites that have Gutenberg turned on. Whether or not they're using it, I'm not sure. Like I don't have, you know, numbers on how that's breaking out. There's no one that's exclusively Gutenberg, of course. They can always use the classic editor. So unless there's something like the block templates, even then they can still edit in the classic editor.
Do you guys call it the Gutenboard?
No, but we should. Don't tell my team. They're going to come up with that on their own.
They're already working towards the Guten future.
Yeah. Oh, you guys. They're going to love you. They're going to call you up and be like, let me be on your podcast so we can come up with bad portmanteaus.
What do you think about this slogan? Gutenberg, think outside the block.
Oh, no. Yeah. They would love it. They're going to make shirts that say that.
I thought about it the other day. I said, you know, that's... I
12 sites is good. A significant amount, though. It's because for each of those 12 sites, you've got at least one person who's using it, if not many. And so that's not insignificant.
So, yeah. So again, these are mostly people. So we did usability testing back in January too. And so certainly those folks have had their fingers in it and have had the training and, you know, are trying it out. And it's turned on. And again, I'm not sure how much they're using it, but they can get in there. And then we have probably another. So one of the services that we're going to offer our clients for the new year is to transition to Blocks for people who have a bunch of content and aren't necessarily comfortable with making that transition, especially if they have really complex page layouts. We're very much a short code shop. You know, we got the memo that Shortcake, the short codes UI was going to go into core, and we were like, yeah, let's do that. And here we are. So.
Yeah, right.
So
here we are.
So some help, helping some of our clients transition from the short code block stuff into hopefully, you know, call out blocks or our NC State blocks will be part of our process. And then, yeah, especially for the simpler sites, we're pretty much ready to turn it on. I don't know that we would turn it on exclusively on day one. We might want wait for like, you know, 5.0.1, but we're pretty good.
So there's a lot of people out there with concerns, of course, about the transition to Gutenberg. It's coming whether you like it or not, and some people have even called it the Gutenpocalypse.
Yeah, but,
that's a little dramatic.
Well, hey, I'm just saying. You know, it's we're combining words here, and that's what some people think this is what it's going to turn into. But being in an NC State and being in the middle of the transition process, what would you say to some of the people out there who are just gripped by fear as to what Gutenberg represents and making that transition to it?
Yeah, I know that there are lots of people who have tried to solve problems in different ways in WordPress, and it's certainly understandable. We're one of them. You know, I think we're lucky in that we took the short codes route, and I think that that's probably a much easier transition than some others have. I think that there's something to be said for the fact that there is a classic editor block, and you don't have to make the change on day one, and that's okay if you're not ready. The key is not to bury your head in the sand and pretend like this isn't happening. Even if you do have a tough transition ahead, or especially if you have a tough transition ahead, this is the time to figure out how you're going to make that process or how you're going to make that change. And embrace it as an opportunity to improve your stuff. I know certainly for us, there are plenty of sites that we're really excited about, you know, sundowning code that's bad and needs to go away. And this is a good, not, you know, excuse basically to do that. And some of our stuff will take longer. We are definitely not going to make every site, you know, Guten ready. And they're not all going to go live on day one. I think in our presentation, we talk about how we expect hopefully to have everybody transition to Gutenberg in 12 to 14 months after Gutenberg launches. And I still think that's a fairly accurate assessment for us. But again, we have dozens and dozens of sites, you know, literally thousands of people to help, you know, manage with this process. So it's going to depend how much work you have, but the sooner you get started, the better off you're going to feel.
And considering that Gutenberg, I mean, right now it's a plugin, but we're talking about a core merge into, you know, WordPress 5.0. Have you guys come up with a plan yet for how perhaps you will roll this major version of WordPress out to the sites? I mean, will it be individual basis or?
Yeah, so it's tricky for the enterprise level stuff, the blog environment and the hosted WordPress environment. We actually may do the hosted WordPress, our premium environment first, just because those are the people that we talk to a little more readily. Obviously, in the blogs environment, there's like, you know, 2,000 sites in there. We're not talking to all those people. We talk to them when they come to us with a specific question, but otherwise, you know, that's not a day-to-day kind of thing. So at some point, we'll communicate with them by email, letting them know that this is a change and this is what your environment's going to look like. But for the most part, that's going to be, I wouldn't say hands-off. The day that that happens, we're definitely going to be prepared for, you know, a couple dozen or 100 support tickets. And we're working with help desks across campus to help have some resources to distribute to people who have questions in that environment or other environments. But we're primarily just, you know, trying to have it turned on where we can for the people who are ready for it. And, Sorry.
Well, I mean, WordPress 4.9.8 RC1 was just recently released, and it includes the Try Gutenberg callout. So now it's encouraging users who have access to the back end, mm-hmm. who can see that callout, they can actually install the plugin right then and there, like instantly installs, and boom, they're running Gutenberg. So I know that NC State has classes, you have training available, but what about, are you at all worried about the fact that there could be a bunch of people on campus that install Gutenberg maybe prematurely, or is that something that maybe you'd be encouraged by because they're actually using it and maybe trying it out? I mean, how are you handling this Gutenberg prompt?
So they should not be able to install it in our blogs environment. And at this point, we have not talked about whether or not we would turn it on in there. For other sites in the past, and actually in the major blog environment too, we typically add some messages to the dashboard for our enterprise level stuff that say things like, hey, here's what's going on with this. Like we did that not so long ago with the GDPR stuff, because of course that was like a pop-up prompt that let everybody know that GDPR had changed. And just in case people were wigging out, we had some extra language about that. And for the rest of campus, anyone who's a client of ours who's going to see that message has already seen several emails from me saying, this is what Gutenberg is. If you want to try it out, here's where you can do that. Here are some classes you can take. And when you're ready, let us know. So I don't think it's going to be news to them in the same way that it might be for some other groups.
Okay. That's good, John. And here we go. I mean, the world, Try Gutenberg will be unleashed. And all I'm going to say is get some popcorn and let's watch the support forums.
Yeah. Let's see what happens. I'm curious about our campus support too and seeing that stuff come in. We definitely have a little more work to do, which you're right, we should probably do sooner rather than later because I forgot about that prompt. for like making some emails and some video tutorials. We have a couple video tutorials and prefab email responses ready to go, but we should, bulk up on those.
This is the call out is really risky for, especially in a campus environment, you know, to be able to roll out a minor release, but introduce that call out to all WordPress installs, regardless of what they are and who is using them, is really risky.
You're thinking that's the wrong word, John. It's exciting. It's really exciting.
Yeah. I'm real excited for you.
You have me back in a month, and I'll be like, "Oh God, it's so bad. It was terrible."
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I know Matt really wants to get to that. What is it? 1 million users?
It's like 100,000 active installs and a million published posts.
My only thing is he can't do the 5.0 drop on like, what is it? Like August 22nd, the first day of school. So can you just like, you know, he needs to know that he should avoid the first day of classes. And after that, I'm okay.
The first day of classes and then Thanksgiving and then Christmas. Right. And then like, there are so many things that are like critical points, especially for a campus.
Okay. Well, exams would be really bad. Don't screw things up during exams.
Yeah. Right. Holidays, exams, the people that are off campus for the holidays, and it happened without them and they're not even there. Like they're just timing it within the span of months for every different kind of business or entity is there's like no good time to do it ever, right?
Yeah, you can't plan for everybody. So. Yeah. And I mean, maybe that's why the prompt is good. So, you know, for some people, certainly we know it can be hidden. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not really trying to hide it if we can help it. Ask again later how that goes.
And sort of to wrap things up here, we'll get your thoughts on this. But so Gutenberg replaces the editor and it will be the editor in WordPress. But beyond the editor, now we start talking about customization, site customization, block templates. Are you excited about the future beyond Gutenberg and where this whole block concept can take WordPress as a whole?
Very much, yeah. I sort of already said how... to me, it's only a matter of time to like all of the WordPress layout is blocked, right? So like blocks replace widgets. They, you know, maybe you instantiate different parts of your theme that drop blocks in the footer or the header or something else like that. So there's lots of cool things that could be done with that. And I'm curious to see how they go. I'm curious to see what comes out of a possible theme that's maybe a Guten theme, although I did go to another good session that made the point that, you know, you really shouldn't have custom blocks in your theme. That should be, you know, in a plugin so you can transition between themes. But I'm curious to see what WordPress's official take is on that. So there's lots of potential to how that rolls out. And yeah, I'm along for the ride. We're making guesses on, like, you know, when Gutenberg's going to drop and what the next thing is going to be. We have a little office pool. We all sucked at the World Cup pool, so we have to figure out something else to guess about. So
yeah, and if we take a look at in the industry, some people are already really jumping on board, like Rich Tabber. He's created, I think, he's the creator of Atomic Blocks, so it's a plugin that has all kinds of cool Guten blocks. And he's also on the side created a theme, which is specifically tailored and styled for those blocks in case you have that plugin installed.
Okay.
There's a lot of other themes out there as well, theme developers that are doing their best to create styles so that at least for the default blocks that ship with Gutenberg, which how many blocks does Gutenberg ship with now? I think, was it 25?
Or, yeah, many. Yeah, and counting embeds or not, but yeah, there's a bunch.
That's a lot of styles that you have to account for, you know, those blocks. But yeah, as you said, there's already a lot of separation or at least more separation than maybe there was in the past of style and functionality, which, you know, is only a good thing.
So yeah. Jennifer, what is your Guten bet for when it will drop?
Okay, so it was October. Listening to people talk over the last, because I've been to a couple different meetups and Word conferences the last week or two. I heard some people make a case somewhat convincingly that it might be like WordCamp US in December. I definitely think it would be out before then. So I'm going to put my money on October. But we'll see if I win the pool.
It's got to be before the end of summer, and it's got to be before WordCamp US.
Yeah, I feel like it has to be before then.
I agree. So
we'll see.
Speaking of WordCamp US, are you planning to attend?
I'm not. One of our team went last year. We don't have any plans to go this year. We have a couple more conferences to hit up, High Ed Web, and we'll definitely follow along online. So we were certainly watching Matt talk at WordCamp EU at like 7:30 in the morning. Yeah. When he talked the other week. So
yeah. So all right. So whenever Gutenberg ships, we'll have you on maybe a few months after, and we'll
find
get
out how it's going.
Yeah, we'll get an analysis of
was right at all or way off.
Yeah. So Jennifer, thank you very much for being on the show, and again, insight into how NC State is preparing for the rollout of Gutenberg, and very pleased to have someone on that you know, is embracing Gutenberg and believes that is the future of WordPress, like Matt does, because he said what got us here isn't what's going to get us there. And
I'm sure that our listeners appreciate your optimism.
I do.
I'm probably like way overselling it now, and it's going to crash and burn. Great. And I am all in on Gutenberg. But we got here on community, and hopefully everybody else will embrace this, and we'll get past the Gutenpocalypse with community.
All right. So how can people get in touch with them? Maybe if they have any more questions, or could follow you on Twitter.
Sure. So the easiest way to get to all of our Guten information is go.ncsu.edu/Gutenberg. And that is like a site that has a bunch of our resources and links to our blog posts and all kinds of other stuff. And that is also our website, design.oit.ncsu.edu. And you can contact us through there. And we are also, you know what? I'm going to totally screw up our Twitter handle because I suck at this game.
You know, but you guys should rename your Gutenberg repository of information to the Gutendex.
We're already using that for the Gutenberg Pain Index. We can't.
Really?
We can't use both.
Sorry, it's already a negative connotation.
I think you spin it back around to the Gut Index, not the Gutendex, like the Gutendex.
Gutendex?
Gutendex.
We're trying too hard, guys.
I know.
We're OIT Design on Twitter, and I'm NCSU Merit on Twitter. And yes, if there's anything that we can offer in terms of resources or help, let us know.
All right. Thank you. Be sure to look into that. And thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And
John, good luck with your sound.
Thank you. No kidding. OMG.
Fingers crossed
I'm
for
really
the future.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'm very embarrassed. I'm really sorry that it, you know, happened with you on the show.
Best of luck, John.
Thanks.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Bye, Jennifer. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Speaking of Gutenberg, 3.3 was released last week, which adds the archives and recent comments blocks. So it also within the video block, you have settings now, so you can do autoplay, loop, muted, playback controls. So you can mess around with your videos now on your video blocks, and the change logs are now starting, as you might expect, to be a bunch of refinements, improvements here and there, little things getting fixed. So there you have it. We'll see if Gutenberg is released with WordPress 5.0 later this year. Should be. It better be.
Should be. Do you know, does somebody have a spoiler? Did somebody make a spoiler tag block yet?
No, not that I, not I that seen I've seen. Either. Not that I've seen.
That'll be my first block.
A spoiler. So when you're, reading content, you know, it says, you know, you don't see the text, it just says spoiler.
Yeah. And then you have to click it to show what's underneath.
Yeah. Don't view on hover, view on click. That way it's a deliberate action.
That's right.
WordPress 4.9.8 release candidate 1 is available for testing. And one of the things I noticed about this release is the post itself by Paul Byron. And it's a very detailed post. And I mentioned this on Twitter. I don't remember release candidate posts being this detailed before. But it's listed out with blessed tasks, the different components, the different tickets, links to those tickets, and changes. So props to Paul and team for putting posts like this out there, because it's very detailed and gives people who are working on WordPress, it's nice to have this kind of resource available.
I like seeing it during a release candidate, because I feel like the actual release post should be a celebration and not as detailed as everything. Yeah, so I am totally on board with that approach to putting that like that.
The one thing about RC1 is that it was discovered shortly after the package was created. They discovered a serious bug in the Try Gutenberg callout. It was decided by the team that they're going to go forward with the release and will release a second release candidate package as soon as a fix for this bug is found. So we're definitely going to have an RC2. So if you're wanting to do the Gutenberg trial or maybe test WordPress 4.9.8, probably wouldn't hurt to wait for RC2 when that bug gets fixed. And WPCLI Hack Day took place last Friday. It's a pretty cool event hosted by Elaine Schlesser. And during the event, a lot of people gathered together on Slack to hack away on WPCLI, or the WordPress command line interface, which is a officially sanctioned project under the WordPress.org umbrella now. Now, the main goal was to merge 20 pull requests during the event, but due to technical issues with Travis CI, which is an automated open source automated testing suite, only 12 were merged. However, 13 more pull requests were submitted. So, I mean, they could have easily surpassed their goal. That darn Travis, that guy, if he only would have worked. But later on during the day, they held a video call. And Schlesser says that they peaked at 13 participants during that video call and allowed for people to make a more personal connection, which added another dimension to the act of contributing. So by and large, this was a great event. The feedback has been phenomenal from people who participated, and especially from people really appreciated the video call, being able to ask and visually walk through the process of either setting up a dev environment or how to properly file a pull request on GitHub. Yep. So it was a pretty good event. And I think we're going to see more of these type events in the future. So congrats to Elaine for putting it together.
That was awesome. I love that there are two groups of dedicated folks that are working on two opposite initiatives, where you're working on direct command line interfaces with WordPress that have no UI at all, that are designed to do really incredible things and powerful things with WordPress under the hood. And then you have another completely unrelated group of people that are working on Gutenberg that is a very beautiful UI and user interaction. That is all really focused on getting content and publishing beautiful blocks and block-faced editors. So I think it's great that right now today there are two polar opposite initiatives that are both just like chugging forward at a pace that neither one of them has had. That's really good to see.
And Google Chrome, which apparently provides crappy audio doing Google Hangouts has rolled out their NAS secure warning for plain HTTP sites. So as of yesterday, Google Chrome 68 was released, and now if you visit a website that is not powered by HTTPS, it will give you a warning that says your connection to the site is not secure. And eventually their goal is to, eventually marking HTTP sites with a red not secure warning. So there's a lot of things going on here. Google is sort of making this sort of branched out statement and kind of deciding for people, you know, whether a site is or is not secure. And this article by Sarah Gooding, I like some of the quotes and some of the pushback by Dave Weiner, who basically said, hey, look, you know, my site, scripting.com, is not secure. It uses a standard protocol of the web, HTTP. It will not hurt you. And, you know, that's a very valid argument to make, is that, hey, you know, maybe HTTPS or SSL certificate really does not need to be on a site that's just publishing content, you know, where there's no exchanging of data taking place. So it's kind of looks like sort of.
Dave had similar thoughts on GDPR, like, why put a cookie warning on a site where he's not asking for anyone's permission to do anything. So is he liable or does he need to have something like that? Is his tweets and his thoughts on HTTPS and GDPR and all those things, I think they are representative of a lot of people who don't have the kind of needs that bigger sites more interactive sites might have.
And Google argues that all websites need HTTPS protection to prevent intruders from ejecting ads or exploits.
So define intruder, right? I mean, Dave's counter argument is going to be that AT&T, Verizon, Time Warner, Spectrum, the ISPs are still in the middle anyways. They have already started taking our content and intercepting their own version of ads and things into them.
Actually, they have a long established history of doing that.
Exactly right. So it could be how you can only keep so many people out.
So do you think this is Google overstepping its bounds, that this is overreach, that one company and their browser should not be dictating whether a site is secure or not?
No. And my opinion is no. I think this is the right thing to do. It's nuanced. Doing it globally for everyone is kind of the only way that most people can do it. It's not unlike Browse Happy or Serve Happy, where you do need to keep people somehow informed about things that they may just not be thinking about. And the you know, we talk about Gutenberg and WPCLI, and there are a lot of people that don't like the Gutenberg is named something that already is called. There's already stuff out in the world called Gutenberg, but to the people that are listening to this podcast, it is a topic of conversation. But to the rest of the world of people using WordPress, they just don't care. And so the people that are browsing the web, the most people that are just users of the internet using a casual web browser like Chrome, are not really looking at whether or not a site is secure or not. And so the more courteous types of warnings that we can give your average internet user that the website that they're visiting might not be as secure as they think it is, I think really is necessary. It is important to be able to provide that kind of feedback to your average type of internet user. But for you and me and for other people that are internet savvy or natives, we can glean that insight and determine those things in different ways. So I think it's necessary. I think it has to happen. But I think
with your mindset on this and your opinion of this, then we're going to see something like this. If it doesn't exist already, you'd get Firefox Safari and whatever other browser, just because, you know, as you said, maybe at the core of it all, it's simply informing the user of something that maybe they wouldn't know.
Well, and at some point, we'll get to a point, and it wouldn't surprise me if it doesn't already happen now. A little bit of it happens with you take your laptop to a coffee shop, And they will tell you whether or not your connection is secure or not. But at some point, it's not enough. Like the car that Carrie and I have, we have a Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid, and it doesn't have a temperature gauge on it. It just tells you if it's cold or if it's not cold. And I think that that's really interesting that we've just eliminated a temperature gauge completely from the car. It's just not cold. And so because it's never gonna get hot. They're just not going to be an issue like that anymore. And so eventually the internet and HTTPS and security will just be the default, and we can get rid of all of these warnings, but there will be this kind of 10-year transition period where we work our way up to that being the default, and we will have eventually eliminated all of those old problems where all of this work that we're doing to say make everything secure won't be an issue. And then by that point, the opposite problem will occur, where if the connection between your client browser and that server that you're trying to reach, it happens to be insecure somewhere in the middle, it'll just completely red flag the whole thing and stop it. You won't be able to connect to a network with your laptop if it's not secure. It will get there. But in the meantime, everyone's going to figure out their comfort level with how they implement those warnings.
And a shout out to the Let's Encrypt initiative, who absolutely has really, I mean, if you look at the telemetry statistics from Firefox and even Let's Encrypt themselves, it's like a hockey stick up and to the right as far as usage of HTTPS on the web, which, you know, can only be a good thing.
More security. It can only be a good thing, but it's we've talked about it on the show before. We've talked about it with Jetpack or WordPress.com or anything else where there's a lot of pressure on Let's Encrypt's shoulders to continue to keep all of us safe. And the more that we lean on them, like Morten Rand Hendrickson has said in the show and stuff before, it is the more outside pressure and influence that other places will be putting on Let's Encrypt to potentially do the wrong thing. And so but if it's money or regulation or everything else, we are asking them and tasking them. They are volunteering willfully to do a good job, and they have been doing a good job. But eventually we are relying on them to do that good job. And it is up to us to be supportive of them if the day ever comes that they need our help.
Exactly. So that's there's some news that came out today, or actually came out yesterday, about the Fields API project. But I wanted to take some time and delve into that a bit deeper on next week's show, which will cover some news. We'll have some time to catch you up on some news. And then the week after that, we actually have Scott Kingsley Clark, lead developer over at Pods, the Pods framework, and of course, who was the lead developer, the lead project lead for the Fields API project. We'll have him on the show. And there's a lot to get into with what happened over the course of the past 3 or 4 years with his involvement of WordPress and Core and the Fields API project. And I think there's a lot of things that could be learned and gleaned from that particular conversation. And if you want to read the article, I published it on WPTavern.com today. And, you know, thanks again to Scott for personally answering my questions the way he did. And I think a lot of developers out there, especially ones who have pet projects that rely on Core or related to Core and just can't seem to, for whatever reason, get the Core buy-in or get that support or have it become a Core priority, could probably relate to a lot of what Scott is feeling and what he said in that article. And that's something that we'll get into more with you about next week, because I think you I was thinking about you and sort of the past couple of years, and I think you, as much as anybody, can easily relate to what Scott says in that post.
That's right. Yeah, I read it, and I'm excited to talk more about it in a couple weeks. My gist is that I totally understand. I've learned some really good lessons. My experience with government is teaching me different lessons that are very similar. And so I'm excited to talk about it in a couple of weeks.
Especially the line in the article where Scott says, It's like kind of like politics. I'm like, oh, no, I bet that rung a bell with you.
That's right. It absolutely did. Even I had a meeting on Monday that was very poignant, very, very relevant.
All right, so we'll get into that next week. And I swear, I hope we figure out. I mean, we thought we saw the audio qualities, but now we got to get a browser that works on John's computer. So we'll have to figure that out. And but that's going to do it for today's episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on wptavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JEFFR0. And John?
Twitter and GitHub at JJJ, JJJ.blog. And so I apologize to everyone who for my ungood audio quality. I really tried hard here in the clutch to fix
it. This is what I get for not paying you to co-host.
It's no kidding. Right. Just need a. All it is about if we've only we had a dozen more dollars, right? Just make this happen.
Yeah, sure. Everybody enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk some more WordPress goodness next Wednesday afternoon. Until then, so long, everybody. Say bye, John.
Bye, John. Bye, John.